So in the beginning of this, I had no idea where I was going to start. How was I going to do a podcast post the election? How do you even start to gather your thoughts on something that is just so explosive? You are listening to The Beauty Beat with Francesca Alexander. Let's get real. We don't all have accountability partners or even have time to get one. Now is your chance to get 30 days free of total accountability while being able to dive in and out of community when you want to. Check out this limited time free offer at hustleandglow.com/AMP. That's for AMP. hustleandglow.com/AMP. So in the beginning of this, I had no idea where I was going to start. How was I going to do a podcast post the election? How do you even start to gather your thoughts on something that is just so explosive, you know, powerful, feelings of betrayal? All of that is what I've been reading on Facebook in my news stream. People that have been affected by this election, people that have started to mobilize a movement that maybe we didn't see as Americans, it has been all over the place. And as I have been looking through all of this and having some deep conversations with friends and family, and even people that have been my personal opposition, I began to wonder, should I reawaken my political voice? For me, it all started when I was 16 years old, living in Los Angeles and a student. I was involved with a inner city project that dealt with racism, anti-Semitism, sexism, all of these isms that really started to come up in my young life living in Los Angeles. And there was a camp, a summer camp that you would go to discuss this. And it was kind of a Trojan horse picture, seeing people like swimming and doing all these sports events of our summer camp that took about a week. And I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And I wanted to go. At the time, actor from Martin actually spoke at my high school and really tried to get that initiative going, getting people to sign up, students to sign up. And I was like, you know what? It's free. I'm going. I think this is kind of cool. If my parents say it's okay, I'll go. What I didn't know is that it was going to be a week of intensive conversation about racism, sexism, anti-Semitism, and the part of Los Angeles I wasn't exposed to a lot of Jewish students, so it was a very new experience for me. It was a very empowering, painful camp, summer camp I've ever been to. In fact, that was the only one I've ever been to. I lived in an upper, it's not middle class, an upper lower class income family. My dad was making great money as a Xerox engineer in a pretty good suburb. However, the economy around the students that I went to were probably of a lower class in terms of income only. And it was hard for me to find a coexistence between those two places. So although my dad was, you know, doing well, I still had the experience of a lower income experience in school and in lifestyle. So the idea of a summer camp was just something I never imagined I could go to. But going through this type of process where you actually did something that is a lost art, and it's called dialoguing with the opposition and trying to find out what is the root cause to their values. Why do other people value the way they do? What I think it's important for us to discuss here is because it is interlinked to mindset and business, absolutely. When we are stuck on polarizing issues that happen within our country or throughout, it's something that we have to stop and reflect to, and sometimes can actually get us off track. As I'm living here in New Zealand, the election has followed me. Followed me where people ask if I'm American. The other multicultural sounding voice like mine is Canadian, so they always ask to clarify. Some Canadians actually get upset if they're referred to as Americans. Totally get it. However, once I do say that I'm American, they feel like they can let loose on their opinions about the elections and how we've gone wrong and what we can do. And it really has been an emotional a month for me, I think, in terms of having to deal with that or trying to just be some sort of ambassador, not so much in defending, although I do defend and with, you know, comedy, if I could, try to make things light. However, it has been a really hard month that I had to explain myself to people. With that said, how does it affect my business? It can affect my business because I am very politically charged personally. I look at newspapers in the morning. The first thing I do in the morning is I do two things. First thing is I listen to NPR News to hear what happened in the States overnight. And the second thing is I start with my podcast business, you know, listening to business podcasts, so I can sort of keep up to date on all the things that are our social media and all the things that are marketing. When something like this disrupts, or the election disrupted, totally disrupted what I was going to do the next week, I really had to just sort of think about how politically I wanted to be. I've been very vocal on Twitter. I think it's a responsibility as an American to voice out things that are concerning. Also, to be quite frank, I want people that are that I'm going to be working with to understand and know who I am and to be in alignment with my big values as well. It's really important for me. I don't want to be caught up in an opposition conversation with a client. Instead, I want them to be like-minded. So that is why absolutely I have been very political on Twitter in particular. When I've noticed that it actually affected my mindset is when that weekend after the election, I lost my voice. Completely lost my voice. And it was a bit traumatic for me because I love speaking and I need to really convey what I'm feeling in terms of what we're going through as a nation. So I took to Facebook. I actually started responding to a lot of my friends on Facebook or not so close friends. You know, when you friend people that seem to be in a business group or even in a mastery class that I've taken, I have been engaging. And some of the comments that I've seen have been horrific. And I've taken to really clean out my Facebook friends. And that might be that I didn't completely unfriend them, but I you know, did put the hide comments feature or hide their post feature from my feed. Some of them I just realized that are not in alignment with my big value system. And that's not okay anymore. It, for me, especially now, I do have to speak up. I do have to say when I'm offended. And do it in a way where it's inviting a dialogue. Because if I stop the dialogue, nothing gets done. What happens is that we just go circles and circles, and we've done that, I think, since the age of being politically correct and how we've veered away from that because it was just too much work. That's dangerous. We still need to have a conversation. However, I take great responsibility in being a woman of color because I want to include that conversation to the opposition. Now, I have a lot of practice. I will say I have some great practice here at home. My husband is Caucasian. Not only Caucasian, but he's a foreigner. He's not from the States. He's a Kiwi. He's from New Zealand. So very flippant comments that can naturally come out to them and never been questioned. Here's his wife, brown skin and all, going to tell him something about it. And what I've learned just in terms of marriage and how you communicate, you have to say things in a soft, reflective state. And to try to invite that conversation to go and actually share those feelings around it is so important because I want the opposition of my thoughts and my value systems to actually be heard. And how do we do that? How do we become people that on both sides get to be heard? Well, you have to invite it. And not only that, but please listen to it. Now, I've been trying to do this the whole weekend when I lost my voice. I actually went to Facebook and started to have conversations with people that were saying offensive things about my candidate and why she didn't win. And how can I take some of those offensive statements and oppose a different conversation? So why, you know, saying things like, why would you, why is, you know, what's the reason behind that? What kind of outcome, ideal outcome is it that you would like to see? And knowing that one of the reasons why we are so, oh gosh, polarized in this whole situation is that we're not listening to each other. There is a big part of Middle America that seems that they feel like they've been left out of the conversation. And I personally feel offended that they chose for me, or they tried to choose for me by not voting. And it's been a very emotional sort of up and down sort of feeling for me. But, you know, I want to connect, and I have before, I want to reconnect with very, intelligent Republicans. Because quite frankly, my political view is very fiscally conservative. So there is something there that I could actually talk to them about. What I want to do is start a conversation where we're unwrapping the years and years of things that have been institutionalized that don't work, things that affect my people, my family, my friends, my new friends as well. I want to bring attention to how that affects people. And if you're truly a citizen, how can we really expand on that feeling of being not only a global citizen, but a right next door neighbor citizen? And how can we promote these things for the betterment of our community? And I really want to go in that direction. So one of the things I've been doing is I've been really questioning people. And I think sometimes even I, with my husband's feed, and I'll see something pretty blatant and discouraging, or the disbelief of the way Americans have voted in the beginning first few days was not flattering on how they actually posted that on their Facebook feed. And I took issue with it because I wanted them to know that it's not a blanket statement that you can say that. And what we actually need right now is love and understanding, not beratement and judgment. And both sides need that, to be quite frank. So we need to have that conversation. We need to have it fast. We need to mobilize that sort of initiative where we're actually talking to each other so we can get to the other side. So what I encourage you to do, which actually I'm going to put in this post on my blog, something that was for me was really magical and changed my mind, was a post from Super Soul Sunday, Ed Bacon. And Ed Bacon is the person, the religious leader in my old church in Pasadena, which was All Saints. And All Saints Church is a bit of political and in your face, and had a lot of movements where they're for people, for the LGBT community, for people of color. They're even Standing Rock. They are doing, you know, very like great activism there. He's been featured numerous times on Super Soul Sunday with Oprah. And I had a conversation with him on Facebook about, he wants everybody to start to heal. And, you know, I was like, well, how I know that dialogue is the way, but how do you do this when you find comments or people that are offending you? How do you make that movement? And in the show notes, I'll go ahead and lead you to that blog so you can see what he said to me. And it was absolutely sparked a little bit of a revolution spark in me and what I need to do and how I need to take responsibility for the change in the world that I want to see. So with that said, I wanted to lead to the other little segment that I want to talk about. And it's a book by Regina Thomas Hauer. And Regina Thomas Hauer has a School of Womanly Art Mastery program in New York each year. And in 2012, I took that course. Her new book, Pussy, A Reclamation, has been a wonderful, needed book that I needed to actually present to myself. And the truth is, I love audiobooks, but I knew that this book needed to be read because I needed to have a deeper dive in what it was that actually helped me in my, you know, my particular transformation. The one other amazing thing that I could not believe and I was so happy about is that Hay House was the publisher of this book. The book really gets you right away. The foreword is actually written by Christiane Northrup, Dr. Christiane Northrup, who is also, just like me, a student of the School of Womanly Arts. And her insight as a medical professional in the beginning of the pages is actually amazing. I'll read one bit that says, "There's plenty of science to support the pleasure and health connection. As a doctor who has spent a lifetime assisting women in healing their bodies, is that you have the courage to read Pussy, a Reclamation, but don't just read it. Let the truth of it just sink into your body, right into your bone marrow. Let this book change your life in the way it's changed mine." I love that. So in the beginning, just her writing, actually she wrote several paragraphs of how it changed her life. And how the medical profession, I know I've seen her speak at the School of Womanly Arts, where she says that the medical profession is always looks at women's health as what is going wrong or when is it going to go wrong. And what she likes to do is invite the different scenario where what is going right and how can you expand on what is going right. And she also wrote a spin-off book over her experiences with this particular school and also with her work with Regina. And it's called, I think, Goddesses Never Age. You can search under Dr. Christiane Northrup, but I will find a link and put it in the show notes, so both of these books. And she claims that this practice actually has deepened her own work. So it's, again, an amazing book. Definitely recommend it. It really helps me reconfigure what I need to do in terms of a life well lived. I mean, that's pretty much all I want, is a life well lived. I'm sure you do too. So aside from that, this is something that I also want to talk to you about a little bit more, is how do you share your high values or your top tier values in a community where you're a marketer or you're selling something, or, you know, if you're offering a service, is it okay? And I'm going to say yes, absolutely. I think it's important. I think it's important that we are in alignment with our clients, because if we're not, we can't really be of service. We can't really offer our best self to them and their service if we're not in alignment with our values. And personally, I started off my career as a, you know, digital PR. This is early days of when Twitter just started, and I started understanding how do you promote yourself on Twitter. And one of the things was I was getting a lot of different influx of client inquiries and seeing if I would be, you know, the person that they can hire for social media management. And that's what I did. And what happened out of that, as I started to learn the process of filtering people in and out of who would actually be a great person to work with and who would be challenging, the values seemed to have come up over and over again. So if it was a very extreme conservative value system that their product or book or whatever message, brand message was, it was not in alignment with me. So I also consider myself a bit of a writer, and you are writing for somebody, even if it's a mini blog. You are writing something, and what you want to do is you want to encourage clicks to go somewhere. So that message has to be very clear, has to be concise, and has to be moving. I can't do that if I don't like someone. Not like someone, but like their cause. I can't do it. And even now, as I'm talking about it, I can feel a physical change in my body, like that kind of flush you get when you're not quite all in. And what I want you to really take away from this is how powerful it is to be on the side of somebody who you're working for, that you can really say, hell yes, I love their product. I love who they are. I love what they're representing. I love how they're moving things with their service. And I've had those moments where I've worked for people that really want to evoke change in a lifestyle, or, you know, move the needle when it comes to people, confidence, or even how they feel about themselves, in terms of using a product or service. That is what gets me. And usually, if you look at all the companies I work with, they're in that space. They're in that space where they're really going to change something, or also be thought-provoking. If they're a thought-provoking product or service, that's where I want to be. That's where I want my work to be. And absolutely, that's who I'd love to coach as well. And on the coaching side of my business, I have a couple of different sides of the business. I have an agency side where we do social media curation, management, content creation. We have that. I even opened one here in New Zealand, so I have that agency. And then the other side, which is really my, what I feel is my life's work, is the coaching element of getting solo entrepreneurs, female entrepreneurs, to really understand the connection between mindset and technology. What does that mean? It just means that we clear a path and clear a way to understand technology so we can promote our businesses online in a very fluid way, very easy way. Usually, if you're in total harmony of what you want to put out there, meaning that you love the product or service that you're going to provide, if you love it, if you know that it's going to change a life or it's going to help somebody live a better life, then that is an alignment of what you can absolutely put out in content. How you can create that and what you're going to do with that is a different thing. Because what happens with an entrepreneur, and I don't have to tell you this, I really feel entrepreneurs created this hashtag, all the things, because it's all the things that we have to do on a week, starting the week off, maybe even on a Sunday or a Monday, what you have to do. All those things, loading up social media posts, processing orders. If you're not processing orders, what went wrong? How do we schedule that? How do we create a strong sales funnel? I mean, the list goes on and on. And sometimes in the beginning of the week, there's a bit of anxiety that happens when you're flailing around trying to really literally stick or fix those little holes that are unraveling in a dam of your business. It's hard. It's hard if you are in that space. What's needed here is not only chocolate, but really to get organized on what you want to produce during the week. And I'm really happy to say what's going on right now is our 10-day challenge, where you can go into the show notes and go into the Facebook group. Go in, get access to the 10-day challenge, which actually helps unravel some of these overwhelm, anxiety-ridden daily tasks that can happen to you. What I'm here, what my activism is for entrepreneurs right now, is I stand in the place of activism by showing you how to unravel and create a 2017 that is far greater than your 2016. And can we just agree on something? 2016 was awful. I mean, it really was. I mean, it was just, it really was really bad for me personally as well. It was not the end of the world. However, it was, I feel like I was a little stick in the mud. Like I couldn't move forward, couldn't move backward. There's a lot of things that happen when you move internationally. And there's still a little bit of adjustment here in terms of me moving here. There have been flat falls right on my face. Literally and figuratively, I broke my ankle like last year, and it took me a while to get back in it. But the cool thing that came out of that was a greater fitness sort of regimen, which was really good, because the cool thing about New Zealand, as opposed to my experience with U.S. doctors, is that, you know, you take something for it. You take either a Naprosyn or something that will help heal you. Here, it's physiotherapy quickly, and they don't really lean on, you know, like Advil. They don't really believe in getting Advil or, you know, something that's going to help with the pain, but rather flex through it. That has been a huge takeaway, flexing through it, doing exercise to recover. So there's a, it's a very tough country. I mean, I'm in the same country as the New Zealand rugby team, All Blacks. And these guys will go and play with a broken foot. Like this is, it's like insane. So what they'll do is they'll power through the pain because they need that player, and the player steps up. So it's a different sort of mentality in terms of always being physical, always having that fitness around you. Fitness is number one value, one of the number one values in New Zealand, no matter if you're Polynesian or even, you know, of any other sort of multinational race you could be. It seems to be like the underlying beat here is to just be fit. And they demonstrate that even at work days, you know, people are walking. And I mean walking during lunch, running home. This is the other thing, running home after they go to work. That's crazy pants for me. Like after a whole day to actually run from work. But there are people that have changed. They have their backpack and they're literally just running home to work, or they get off the bus and they're just running, or they take the subway and they're still like, you know, there's this beat where it's like, we're always doing, we're always getting into physical fitness, and it's wonderful. So it's definitely helped me, encourage me to like get that daily movement, set my alarm like midday and just go out and walk. I will figure it out what the intensity is. And usually by the end of the walk, there's a pretty big intensity because it feels so good. Also, getting signed up with a personal trainer has been a big deal for me. All of these things help with mindset in terms of transitioning your new thought patterns into 2017 for business. If you really take care of yourself first, I know I've seen, like, literally I can market what better production value that I give when I take rest, when I take naps, when I make sure that I need time off. Personally, I've been working for 3 weeks straight before I lost my voice. Like literally like, oh no, you're not going to do that 10-day challenge and do Facebook Live because you're not going to have a voice, is what my body's response to that exertion, quite frankly. So it's those moments where you have to just take back, like, it's not going to be the end of the world to postpone it for a few days. It's just not. Like, people will be disappointed, but are they really looking at their Facebook group feed right now when things are happening and going down in America, the protest itself? Are people going to stop and look at my stuff? And do I want them to? There is a greater thing that is happening, and to have respect for all things that are a bit greater is something that I'm really trying to practice, including my health. That is one of the biggest takeaways for me this year, is to live in that space of recognizing what is needs to be done in terms of health, and also when I need to breathe so I can produce the best valuable content production I can. Because I do say that I am an entrepreneur and activist. What does that mean for me? I need to provide, I need to show value in what I'm displaying in terms of content. How is this going to move the needle for the other entrepreneur? How is this going to change the mindset of the female entrepreneur? All of those things are always in my head. In New Zealand too, I will put a little link in the show notes called Women Who Amp. I've discovered a meetup group here. Actually, not discovered it. I founded a meetup group here called Women Who Amp in Auckland. And we meet monthly to demonstrate how we can do these things. How can we move through some mindset changes? How can we really change what we need to do in terms of the digital literacy front? And it's been a really interesting conversation. It has confirmed everything that I wanted to actually put out in the world and what is needed. So if you're here in Auckland, New Zealand, or you're in New Zealand and you happen to be stopping by Auckland, let me know. There's links in the show notes. You can absolutely contact me. I'd love to meet you in person. That's it for the show today. Thank you so much for listening, and I will look forward to seeing you on the next podcast. Listen, there are a lot of changes that are happening in social media as we speak. Instagram and Facebook have some new features that you should know about. Get the free download at socialglobalgrind.com and sign up on the homepage for your free update. That's socialglobalgrind.com. Thanks for listening to our podcast. This is intended for you to just get your inspiration and keep going, no matter what is in your way. For more inspiration, let's connect at socialglobalgrind.com, and you can check out some of my blogs and even reach out to me if you have any questions about this podcast. I'm Francesca Alexander, and thank you for listening to The Beauty Beat, where we help you find your hustle and glow.